Be'ez HaShem, we are starting a shir in Parsha B'Shalach. Tonight is Yud Aleph Shvat. It's an English February, it's the 6th, 2017. And this particular week is the week that the minhag is to pray for Parnasa. We say Parshas Haman, the parsha that deals with the man, which we're going to get to a little bit later, because the man is the source of Parnasa for the Jewish people for 40 years while they were in the desert. And the minhag Yisrael is to actually say Parshas Haman Tuesday, that's tomorrow, because on Tuesday is the day where the plants were created, the day of when all of the foliage, plants, trees, everything that had to be created in the world of plants and agriculture took place on the third day, on Tuesday. And therefore the minhag Yisrael is that since Parnasa, for the most part, originates from food that's grown and comes from the earth, from the ground, and we have the minhag of saying Parshas Haman on Tuesday, and the Parshas Haman is in Parshas B'Shalach. Many Sidurim have Parshas Haman after the Shachar's davening. Some have the minhag of saying Parshas Haman with the trup, with the intonations of the reading of the Torah together with Targum Unkelus, and therefore being that some of the minhagim that exist, they say it twice and once with Unkelus. That's some of the minhagim that exist. So this is a special week of Parshas B'Shalach. It's also known as Shabbos Shira, the Parsha of singing Az Yashir, and it's also very well known that there's a custom of putting out bread for the birds Erev Shabbos, because in Parshas, Parshas B'Shalach has also the story where Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be criticized and put to shame by Dothan v'Aviram. These are two well-known troublemakers who almost had him killed in Mitzrayim by them speaking to Paro that he has actually killed a Mitzri officer in defense of trying to save a Jewish slave. And Dothan v'Aviram later tried to get Moshe put to shame, as Hashem said that man will not fall on Shabbos. And Dothan v'Aviram wanted to make Moshe look very small and very unimportant, let's put it that.
Insignificant,
unimportant, he's making up his own rules and stuff like that. That they decided to put the man out on the field. That would be on Friday night, so no one would see them. And then wake everybody up and to show them that man is on the field and Moshe Rabbeinu did not say the truth. And that's what they planned to do. But the birds came by and swooped down and took the man away, ate the man, but moved it away from the spot. And when Dothan v'Aviram came, they couldn't find the man, and of course they were ridiculed, and they were put to shame, and they were made small and insignificant instead of Moshe Rabbeinu. So in honor of the birds that preserved the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a minhag Yisrael to put bread for the birds Erev Shabbos on Erev Parshas B'Shalach, as it's known as Shabbos Shira. This is just a small introduction to the parsha. My main focus on this parsha, on Parshas B'Shalach, is that there are several episodes in Parshas B'Shalach that focus on betachin, on the Jewish people relying in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know the counterpart to betachin is emunah. Emunah means faith, and betachin is the reliance on the Almighty. In another way, like Rabbi Ephraim Waxman, a very popular orator, speaks throughout the Torah world, once explained, emunah is the theory and betachin is the practice. You know about Hashem, you fortify your inner soul, your conscience, and your mind and your emotions with faith in Hashem, but then comes practice. You practice that faith, and that's called betachin. We're going to go through several episodes in Parshas B'Shalach that bring this point out, and I will begin with actually Rabbi Ephraim Waxman, who started off a shiur in betachon, which was actually a shiur in Choves Halvavos, the duties of the heart, and he mentioned some very interesting things. We are living in a society today that we're all motivated by advertisements, we're motivated by stimuli, we're motivated into thinking success, acquisition, having a secure bank account, having material possessions is the way to go. And it secures your future and guarantees you happiness and prosperity. Just to prove it, ask any high school student who's serious and getting good marks. You'll ask him, why are you studying so hard? He says, I want to get into university. Go into a university student who is working very hard for a degree. Ask him, why are you working so hard? I want to become a doctor or an engineer. Why do they want to become a doctor and engineer? Because they want to have a good life. They want to make a lot of money. They want to be able to build a career and then be able to put that money away to buy that fancy condominium in this very exclusive resort where they'll overlook a golf course and they'll be living in bliss forever and ever until the time comes that they have to leave this world. This is a common understanding among the common folk of the world around us, that you want to make it in this world, it's acquisition. It's being able to make a lot of money, it's to be able to have a bank account that'll show that you are profitable, you're secure, you are able to purchase what you need, what you want, whenever you want. This is the life. And this is the way it is. However, we know that life isn't always the way people plan it. If we would be able to acquire a tool that would get to that moment of happiness where the person works all his life to be able to reach that moment where he has that feeling of freedom, security, honor, pleasure, and so forth, people wouldn't spend all their lives spending so much time trying to acquire all those possessions.
what is that acquisition that we're talking about that would be a tool for life, that would give a person that feeling of serenity and security? And that is the tool of bitachin, to know that by relying on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that everything that we have, everything that we own, everything that we possess has to pass through the filter system of the Almighty, and He has to approve it before we have it, and that we're secure, that we have to realize that what we have is with His approval. And if we live this way, with that kind of attitude, that we live with bitachin, then what we have, we know is only temporary. Hashem takes, Hashem gives. The Gemara says, Shem zeinais of shaladam. He says on Rosh Hashanah, Kishem Shem zeinais of kitzubalay Rosh Hashanah. Just like a person's sustenance is acquired on Rosh Hashanah, also the person's misfortunes and losses are also calculated in Rosh Hashanah. Now, if we are able to inculcate this in our lives, that bitachin, belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the ingredient that really, really matters, then sometimes when we go through misfortune, sometimes when we lose money, sometimes when we think that things didn't work the way we want it, was really meant to be. It was heaven sent. And if we live like that, then we're very much more ahead of those people who are pursuing that life of bliss, knowing that it's only after they've acquired all the money and all the possession that it matters and makes a career. Where is all this filtered down from the Torah? In this week's parsha, we'll have some incidents that will bring that out. How bitachin was fundamental, and how bitachin was absolutely indispensable. Let's begin with the beginning of the parsha, when Paro is pursuing the Jewish people after realizing that the Jewish people are not coming back. And they took all of their possessions that they claimed they borrowed, but they owed them for all of the many years that they worked for free. And now Paro is pursuing them. And now guess what? The Jewish people are looking up and they see a cloud of dust coming towards them with pointed helmets and chariots in their direction. Let's focus, please, on Pasuk Tes, page 368, Pasuk Tes. It's really Sheni, or the Pasuk after Sheni. Vayirdefu Mitzrayim achareihem, and the Egyptians pursued after them. Vayasigu osam, and they reached them. Chonam al hayom, camping by the sea. Kol sus rechav paray uferasha vechelay. All of the horses, the horsemen, and the chariots, and his army. They saw the Jewish people at Apiachiris. That's the place that they were there. They camped. Lifnei Baal Tzifon.
Apiachiris is a connotation of the mouth of freedom.
That's the name. That was the name of that place called Piachiros.
It sort of has
It's a landmark. It's a landmark right before Baal Tzifon, the only existing Avodah Zarah that remained after Makkos Bechoros. When Makkos Bechoros struck, every idol disintegrated. If it was made out of wood, it turned to a pile of splinters. If it was made out of stone, it became a pile of crushed stone. If it was made out of metal, it turned into a puddle of metal, a molten metal. Nothing remained whole from an Avodah Zarah. The only one that remained was Baal Tzifon. And that was by the place called Pi HaChirus, in order to fool Paro into thinking that the Avodah Zarah had some kind of magical powers in preventing the Jewish people of going further. And now Paro is getting closer, and Paro is advancing. And let's move on to the next pasuk on page 370, pasuk Yud. Ufaro hikri v'yishu b'nei Yisrael as einayim v'hinei Mitzrayim noisei achrayim. And the Jewish people lift up their eyes and they see that the Egyptians are pursuing them. They're traveling towards them. V'yiru ma'od, and they were exceedingly frightened. V'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael el Hashem, and the Jewish people cried out to Hashem. This is the moment where they saw there is nothing else to rely on but the Almighty, and Hashem was finally communicated with the Jewish people. Let's now skip to Pasuk, let's see, Tes Vav and Tes Zayin. Okay. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ma titzak alai? Why are you screaming to me? Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yisau. Speak to the Jewish people, and you are to travel. And they shall travel. Ve'ata harem es matcho netei etzotra al hayom. Raise up your staff, and stretch your hand over the sea, uvekoyeyu, and split it. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'sor chayom b'yabasha. And the Jewish people came in the sea, in the dry part of the ocean, Bayabasha. Well, first it was Yam, and then Bayabasha is the famous story that Nachshon ben Aminadav from Shevet Yehuda, and then the entire Shevet jumped into the Yam, and it split, and then it turned into Bayabasha. But what we have to realize over here is, gentlemen, that was Vayitzak. First it was Vayitzak El Hashem. They cried out to Hashem and a miracle took place. When a person is put up against the wall, and this is almost like litmus paper test. When a Jew is put up against the wall and he throws his entire trust in Hashem because there is no other choice, he is worthy of a miracle. And this is an example, a miracle of the Jewish people crying out to Hashem. And guess what happened? The sea split. The famous Kriyas Yamsuf took place at that time. So example one is that when there is complete bitachin, when there is total bitachin, Hashem takes over. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that there's an equation here that might just be missed a little bit.
Let's hear.
That when you cry out to Hashem, it's not enough. It's when you cry out to Hashem and then you take action, like when they jumped into the sea, then the sea split. When they showed that kind of faith and they jumped in, because God said to Moshe, don't pray to me now. There's no time for that.
Right.
Then when they jumped in, that's when the miracle occurred.
Well, you know,
so if you sit on your hands and do nothing
exactly,
and just pray, he's not interested. That's what it seems like.
Daniel, that's a beautiful insight that I myself did not make on my own. I think your insight is a beautiful, beautiful thought, and it's, I think we're all privileged to hear it, because what you're saying is correct. You're saying that God wants us to do ours and to make effort. But when you're against the wall, you ask Hashem, I need your help. I cannot do it alone. I'll do what I can, but I need your help, your intervention. Hashem does help. We're going now to... Yes?
So the question that I have is, on the other side of things, they also kind of complained. Some of them did.
That is true, but the fact that there were those complaints didn't take away from the fact that the Jewish people as a whole
moved on.
Yeah. And we have to live with that. We have to live with moving ahead and trying
you
to go.
Still grow,
okay, this is right now incident number one.
Yeah.
We all know that the Oz Yashir was sung as a result of the splitting of the Yam Suf, and now we're going to move on to another incident where it's in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Chav Beis, that's in the article of 380. So here is one very, that was one powerful example of what the Tachin can do. And by the time we're finished, hopefully we'll get to some of it or most of it, you'll walk away understanding that Betachin takes your emotional wherewithal to know that we are not capable of doing everything. We are capable of trying, but we have to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for His help, and the Almighty does His, but we do ours. Pasuk Chabez. Vayasa Moshe Es Yisrael Miyam Suf. Moshe Rabbeinu made the Jewish people travel from the Yam Suf, Vayetzu El Midbar Shur, and they went out to the desert called Shur. Vayelchu Shloshes Yomim Bamidbar V'lo Matzu Mayim. They were 3 days in the desert and they could not find water. Vayavo Marasa, and they came to Mara. V'lo Yachlu Lishtas Mayim Mara. They were not able to drink the water for it being bitter. Ki Mara Mayim, because the water was bitter. Al-Kain Karashim Amara. So Jewish people complained. By the way, when the complaint is a rightful and appropriate complaint, then we can't hold that against them. They were thirsty. They're 3 days in the desert. They complained, Al-Moshe Lema Ma Nishta. What are we going to drink? Turn the page. Pasuk Chaf Hey. By
382.
The next powerful statement. Vayitzak El Hashem. And he cried out to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu cried for help. He didn't know what to do. What is he going to do? He has a whole nation of over 2.5-3 million people, men, women, and children. And how is he going to give them water? It's in the middle of the desert. What is he going to do? Vayitzak El Hashem, Vayareyu Hashem Eitz, and Hashem showed him a tree. There's a measure that says the tree was a bitter tree, and he told him to throw it into the water. Vayashlech El Hamayim, Vayimtekayim, the water became sweet. Isn't it strange? A bitter piece of wood making bitter water sweet. It's everything beyond nature. It's just you do yours, and the Almighty does His. But it came about by Yitzhak. By Yitzhak El Hashem. You're put against the wall. When you put against the wall and you come to that emotional realization that I am insignificant. I am not the one to do it. The Rebbeinu Shel is the doer. And I am here to follow what He asks me to do. Then even a piece of bitter wood that's thrown into the water, of bitter water, turns sweet. And at that point, they were privileged in the place called Mara to receive several mitzvahs, like a preview of the Torah, where Rashi explains that at this place called Mara, they receive several mitzvahs such as Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos, Paraduma, the laws of Paraduma, Dinim, laws of judgment, and some won't even say, I think there's a mitzvah of Kibbutz. I think there's some say another precept. But the bottom line is, you put up against a wall and you rely on Hashem, a miracle takes place. We go now to Perek Tezayin, and we're moving on to the story of the Mun. In Perek Tezayin, we're going to start. We're actually right there. We're right in 382. They traveled from Elim, and they came to all of the Jewish people to the Midbar Sin, to the desert of Sin, which was between Elam and between Sinai, between the place called Elam and Midbar Sinai. B'chamisha asa yom l'chodesh hasheni, the 15th day of the second month, which is the month of Iyar. L'tzeisa mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Now what happened over there? They again rightfully complained. They said, we have no food, because that was the last day that they had provisions from the matzah, and the matzah dough that they had. The matzah dough that they baked in Mitzrayim, and they rolled it up on their shoulders, and the dough that they had, they baked on their backs. The matzah provision was enough to last them for 30 days. Which in itself is a miracle. The little pieces of matzah was like a tiny kazayas, a morsel, and it expanded and made them full and comfortable and satisfied. But that also came to an end. A month later, which is the 15th day of Iyar, there was no more provisions, no more food. So what were they going to do? Again, they cried out, we need food. And which is a reasonable complaint. So now comes the whole story of the man. Moshe Rabbeinu goes ahead and prays to Hashem. And let's see. Let's turn to Pasuk Dalet, page 384. Vayoma Hashem al Moshe, hineni mamti lechem lechem min hashamayim. Behold, I am going to rain down for you bread from heaven. V'yatza ha'am, the nation went out. V'loktu d'var yom b'yomo, they collected each day's portion, a day by a day, in order l'man anasenu, in order for him to test you. All right, this is going to test you if you'll follow. If you're going to go in my Torah or if not. Alright? Hashem is going to test them if they're going to do. Now, again, they complained, they had no food. Moshe Rabbeinu, up against the wall, how is he going to feed millions of people? He has to pray to Hashem, he has no choice. Hashem responds, you're going to get food from heaven, and we know the man was very special food. Man had the taste of anything they wanted it to taste like, and a miracle of man is the miracle of Parnassa. And a very interesting thing I want to bring to you is the word in the pasuk. Go back to the pasuk again. And let the people go out and pick each day's portion on its day. Laman anasenu, in order so that I can test them. When you're dealing with parnasa, and this is the concept of parnasa, food, man, right? It's a form of being tested. When the way we approach parnasa is being a test from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to get used to using the term Gamzu L'Tova, this is for the best, even if things don't happen the way we want it to. Even things don't work out the way you would like it to. We see that Hashem, in giving the man to the Jewish people, used the word L'man HaNasenu, in order I should test them. Isn't that incredible? I didn't have to say that. All I had to say, I'm going to bring down man for the Jewish people to eat, and they can collect each one of them a portion, a daily portion. What's the L'man HaNasenu? So I would like to say a thought of my own. My own insight that you know that Parnassa comes with a test, and you have to understand that there are some good days and some not such good days. Some days we make nicely, and some days we make nothing.
Oh, so we
lose and, a lot. And sometimes we could lose a lot, but that was all in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, this is why this parsha is such an important parsha to institute, or I should say motivate in us, the concept of betachin, because Parnassa is teaching us betachin. It's a test of betachin. It teaches us to have betachin. If it worked in the desert, it has to work for us. And I want to tell you a very interesting thing about the man. Do you know it says devar yom biyomo? It says to pick each day's portion on its day. You couldn't store it. You couldn't hoard it. You couldn't freeze it. You couldn't put it on the shelf for a rainy day. You had to pick your portion and pray the next day for your next meal. If that is true, and that was true at the time of the Jewish people living in the desert, so the same idea takes place now, thousands of years later. Parnassa is a test of our faith, and sometimes it comes with difficulty, and sometimes it comes with miracles you don't understand. I have a brother who's a musician, and he tells me, I may have mentioned it once before, he can't understand. He says, I see Hashem's hand unbelievably. He says, he has very quiet months, because his weddings are usually seasonable. It's usually mostly in the June, and June and July, and January very few, and all that. You know, so he just all of a sudden, and he has competitors too, all of a sudden he can get called by a person who he never met, doesn't know, but heard from somebody else about him, and he wants to book maybe 15-20 piece band, which is a huge amount, a huge expense, and he says, we don't have to meet, send me the contract. What? This, like, it's unbelievable. 2-3 weeks ago, my brother told me he got a call from Paris that they're going to have a marriage, they're having a wedding in New York. Would you please like to perform at the wedding and let's make arrangements? Where does it come from? How is it? You know what? Hashem has his ways. And then there are weeks, nothing's going on. Of course, there's no contact. There's not. But you know what? My brother has shown me that he lives with Betachin, and he sees the Almighty running the show. Here is a person who learns in the morning, and he has a schedule to daven and to learn in the morning, and he does his business after 11:30 in his office and take care of the contracts and the musicians and everything else. It's Min HaShemayim. It's Min HaShemayim. You know, we think that we do all the work, and we're blessed with success. Sometimes we're knocking on the wrong doors. The story of Rabbi Waxman is a beautiful story. He was going to raise money for his yeshiva. He goes to a very, very wealthy person's office, and you see all of the trappings of a wealthy man. And guess what happens? He goes and he sees this very distinguished man, comes in the office, a very well distinguished man, and he sits down with him. And he goes there and opens up his brochure with his partner, he shows them his yeshiva, we have X amount of expenses, we are running a very successful organization, could you please help us out, and all that, and then that. And all of a sudden, the door opens up, and the wealthy man of the office finally walks in, and they realize they were talking to another mashiach. Another collector. They were talking to the wrong person. He was well dressed, a distinguished rabbi from wherever he was, raising money for his own institution. The rabbi did not know what on earth do these people want from him. But he was very polite and listened to this story. And in the meantime, we think that we are doing the right thing and we are really knocking on the wrong door. The door that we have to be knocking on is the door of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The door of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the door that provides you real success, real tranquility, and real bracha. There's more to this parasha. I don't want to take away, there's another shir. I don't want to take away from another shir, but you should know that in order to be blessed with bracha batzlacha, you have to emotionally build yourself up with the wherewithal to trust that Hashem will give you it all if you put all your trust in Him. You daven, think about what you're saying, and even if it's only in one bracha in Shmona Esrei, Shema Kaleinu, for example, you have something on your mind. You have a need, whether it's parnasa, whether it's an ill relative or friend, whether someone's going through a terrible divorce, or somebody has no children in his family, or somebody has a problem with shidduchim, they can't get married. You know this person's struggling. Stop by Shema Kaleinu. You say, I want to daven for somebody. Help him out. Help me pray for him. Hashem will listen to you. And by doing that, you'll be doing not only your friend a favor, you'll do yourself a favor. Have a wonderful week.